Welcome to this week's edition of The Headlines from CKUT's Community News Collective in Montreal. I'm Tarek Giroux-Bercon. Information that matters from our neighborhood to the world. We are broadcasting from Montreal and rebroadcasting on stations throughout Canada and the United States. These are the headlines for the week of April 12th, 2009. We'll start with a local headline. At UQAM University in Montreal, there are currently 35,000 students on strike in solidarity with their 900 professors who have been on strike themselves for a much longer period. For 2 years, the internal disputes and mismanagement of university funds have only served to make the situation worse, but the basic problems still remain. The teachers and the now striking students have three main demands. Number one, an overhaul of the entire public funding structure for university education in Quebec, in particular at UQAM. Number two, the hiring of 300 new professors at the school in order to provide a better teacher-to-student ratio. And number three, the halting of all new government-regulated lesson plans that undermine the true nature, meaning, and intention of education, not just at the university level. Until these three conditions are agreed upon and met, the strike will continue. Now for some national headlines. Canwest Global Communications, which owns a large chain of daily newspapers, including the National Post and Global Television, announced a quarterly loss of $1.44 billion. Business analysts declared that the company's shares are essentially worthless. Quote, "Given the significant liquidity challenges facing the company, we see no residual value in the shares of Canwest," unquote, BMO Capital Markets analyst Tim Casey wrote in a note to clients. Canwest's shares fell 22% to close at 25 Canadian cents on the Toronto Stock Exchange, a fresh year low for the stock. Canwest is controlled by the Asper family of Winnipeg. In November, the firm cut 560 jobs at its newspapers and television stations to slash costs and cope with the advertising slowdown. Peter Kent, Canada's Minister of State for the Americas, traveled to Colombia for the annual meeting of the Inter-American Development Bank. Kent also announced that he plans on visiting Cuba in the near future. The Inter-American Development Bank Saturday restricted access by journalists to a civil society press conference during the bank's 50th anniversary Board of Governors meeting. Representatives of non-government organizations who came to the meeting to demand accountability for bank policies and projects said that this was another example of IDB hostility towards citizen oversight and transparency. Said Maria Jose Romero of the Third World Institute in Uruguay, quote, "It's a simple question of transparency. The IDB managers operate without any accountability, and they don't like it when civil society organizations shine a critical spotlight on them, as we have done here in Medellin," unquote. Peter Kent had no comment on the restrictions to media access. And now for some international headlines.
On Monday, the Obama administration appealed a judge's decision granting three detainees at a U.S. military prison in Afghanistan the right to challenge their detention in U.S. courts. The Obama administration argued that the three men had no legal habeas corpus rights because they were in a war zone. The judge disagreed, writing that, quote, "It is one thing to detain those captured in the surrounding battlefield at a place like Bagram, which respondents correctly maintain is in a theater of war. It is quite another thing to apprehend people in foreign countries, far from any Afghan battlefield, and then to bring them to a theater of war, where the Constitution arguably may not reach." According to the Washington Post, the appeal means that the Obama administration, for now, wants to stick with a policy set by President George W. Bush, granting those incarcerated by U.S. troops in foreign prisons no U.S. legal rights. The continued policy means that the U.S. can capture chosen suspects in foreign countries and hold them indefinitely overseas, without justifying its decisions.
The federal government of Nigeria announced Wednesday that the $150 million of the $180 million bribe that Nigerian officials are presumed to have received from the U.S. firm Halliburton in order to build the first liquefied natural gas plant in Niger Delta, was found in an account in Zuri, Switzerland. The Nigerian Minister of Justice and Attorney General Michael Ouedraogo say in the capital Abuja that the money was recovering during the investigation of a team set up by the government to identify the Nigerians involved in this corruption scandal. He said, quote, "The trial in the United States is sealed and you cannot get the name unless the U.S. government communicated to us in a form of confidential information. We must provide evidence to show that this money was given to specific people," end quote.
Sri Lanka's government declared on Sunday a two-day pause to its offensive against Tamil Tiger rebels. The United Nations estimates that approximately 150,000 to 190,000 innocent people are trapped in the conflict zone in the northern Vani region of Sri Lanka. Reports to the UN indicated that the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam have prevented civilians from escaping by methods that include firing at them. Human Rights Watch estimates that the death count has mounted to 3,000 since January, during attempts by the Sri Lankan military to eliminate the pro-separatist Tamil Tigers. The Tamil Tigers have accused the military of firing artillery into the designated no-fire zone.
A Somali lawmaker has described Tuesday the killing of three Somali pirates by the American Navy. American Navy sniper killed three Somali nationals in a lifeboat and rescued an American sea captain on Sunday. Ahmed Bill, a Somali parliamentarian, told Shabali media that the men are Somali nationals and have a right to be sentenced in a legal way. He said, quote, "The saga ends when the Americans saved their man and slaughtered Somali nationals. Perhaps many people think that our people are like ants and the other people are sacred," end quote. The statement of the lawmaker comes despite the Somali government hailing the operation by the American Navy.
Those are this week's headlines. Our broadcasts are available for download every week at ckutnews.wordpress.com and mediacoop.ca. And you can read more news from the grassroots at dominionpaper.ca. Thanks as always to the Dominion and our contributors, Fabrice and Laura Liu of the CKUT Community News Collective. I'm Tarek Jura-Burkhan. To contact us, email headlines@ckut.ca. Thanks for listening.